Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, thank you for that introduction, Terry, but this is not Steve. This is Larry Sonnenberg, and I'm sitting in for Steve today, and I'm really fortunate to be sitting between Milan Yurkovich. Hey, Milan.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. And Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Milan.
Okay. Merry Monday to you.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, March is zooming by us. I wanted to start off, you know, week before last, we had an Every Man's Battle workshop, and I'm always encouraged by that because we see the beginning of guys where the light bulbs are going off and they're getting hope and they're getting equipped and they know what they need to do.
For sexual addiction, Every Man's Battle is a workshop for sexual addiction.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I got a letter came in here recently, and this one I like because it's has to do with somebody who went there a long time ago. And I just wanted to read this to us quickly. Several years ago, I began the journey towards sexual sobriety due to being discovered by my then 16-year-old daughter. After almost 4 years of solitary recovery with on-and-off counseling, I found myself being drawn back into the darkness of porn, all while convincing myself that if I wasn't physically acting out, I was maintaining purity. One Saturday morning, as my wife and I, now married 27 years, lay in bed, she wondered aloud why our email was being hit with those impure spam email like they used to come in a few years back. The Holy Spirit was at work, and I immediately confessed to her that it was likely due to the sites I'd begun visiting again. It began a painful re-beginning of our relationship, one that seemed iffy at best at the time. This was December of 2015. We talked, we cried, we argued and threatened during those early days. In February of 16, I called New Life and registered for the Every Man's Battle workshop in Irvine in May. Since that time, I have built 38 months of continuous sobriety, real sobriety this time. And with time, counseling, and almost 3 years as a regular Sustained Victory member, our relationship has become what we both envisioned in 92. When we got married. We have regularly contributed to New Life. I've never written a testimonial. Of course, there is so much more that could be said. But suffice it to say that we both have become big New Life fans and listen to the show and the Sustained Victory CD every month. Thanks for all you do.
So Sustained Victory, Larry, is a follow-up program for these guys that come out of this weekend and they meet with their counselor and their small group that they met with for a week for a year, every week for a year.
And you know, some guys, some groups have held together for years.
Yeah, they have.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, they have a plan for the first year to get through 12 steps and work the plan.
Well, and any treatment that you go to of any kind is only as good as the follow-up that you engage in afterwards to sustain it. That's why we call it Sustained Victory.
That's exactly right. And it's a group instead of the solo thing he was trying to do all by himself where he didn't talk to anybody. And that's the other
That's really solo.
That's super solo. He didn't talk to anybody. And he was all trying to white-knuckle it himself. Mm-hmm. And this is about community.
Yes.
Which is about, hey, look at us. We're a community right here. The
we
three
are.
Of us.
Amen.
We
grow in community, don't we?
We laugh in community, right, Larry?
We do, more than once. Yeah. The other thing that I loved about going to that workshop was there were a few guys that came in there and they admitted, I don't want to be here. And I said, you'll be glad by the time you leave, when I greeted them at the door. And their attitude, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the week, or end of the weekend. They are so on fire, happy. They get it. I was wrong coming in that way. So anyway, if join us. We're going to take a call right after the break here, and we'll see you.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg here sitting in for Steve, and Mylon Yurkovich and Joe Hubbard sitting here to take the tough calls.
And you are the president of New Life Ministries.
Oh, we sink me. Pinkies up. Yes, sir.
Well, that's important. It's just not Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve. It's Larry, the president of New Life, sitting in for Steve.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mylon. That's a good reminder for all of us.
Credit to where credit is due.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. We are going to take a call. Let's go to Louise. Louise listens on Sirius XM all the way from Ontario, Canada. Hello, Louise.
Hi.
Hi, how can we help you?
Well, my children come from a background of a husband who had a really serious sexual addiction. I tried for 18 years to work it out, couldn't, and we ended up divorced back in 2004. Since then, I've remarried, and I'm happily married to a really fine Christian man, and it's awesome. 6-8 months ago, my oldest son, who's turning 40 this year, his marriage broke up, and he came to live with us. His wife came out as gay, and so we offered to have him come live in our home. It was rocky right from the start. He's very angry, and he's also not sleeping. He's got anxiety and different things like that. So he started going to a psychiatrist who prescribed him a lot of different drugs. In that time, I noticed some things that were kind of red flags to me. He just seemed to be on the internet a lot. He was on the internet during the night. I could hear things going on in his room that were alarming to me. And anyway, I've come to discover that he has what I would consider to be a very serious sexual addiction, very similar to what his father had. And so we went to see our pastor, and he suggested that we lovingly confront him with this and what we had found. So 2 weeks ago I did that, and he just ran out of our house, grabbed his baby, and left, and says he wants to have nothing else to do with us. And he's always been one of my closest children, and it's just like my heart's been ripped out, and I just really don't know what to do.
Okay.
Wow.
My goodness.
He's having a hard time facing it, isn't he?
How old was his child?
He's turning 40 this year.
No, you were asking how old is his child.
You said he took his child.
Oh, his child?
Yeah.
She's two. She's a 2-year-old. She's a baby.
Oh, she was with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I missed that.
He has her half time, but he has her more than half time, really, because he's a really good dad with her. Like, he's wonderful, and I never ever suspected that he had this problem.
Right, but it does make sense, Louise, and so unfortunately, history does often repeat itself. Where is his biological dad now in his process?
He lives probably 20 hours away and has very little, if any, contact with the rest of the family.
Okay, and to your knowledge, is he still involved in his sexual addiction? Has he done anything to overcome it? He is. Okay, so he would not be of help.
No.
Okay.
Are you still in contact with your son?
I would say I could get in contact with him, like I could message him or whatever, but he said he wants to have nothing to do with us at all.
So he's embarrassed. He's feeling a lot of shame.
I would suspect so, because some of the stuff I found it wasn't just pornography. It was way, way more than that.
Okay.
How else are you and your husband and your adult son getting along? Are there other stresses in the relationship?
Well, he just feels that, you know, he doesn't like it that we read the Bible. He doesn't like it that, like, he claims to be a Christian, but he just doesn't like anything regarding our faith. He says, you know, the Bible is fallible. He's been involved in a really humanistic church, and feels that we're very judgmental because we don't embrace the gay lifestyle that his wife has now got. He feels that we're very judgmental, even though we don't really say a lot. We try to encourage in a good direction, but we don't really say very much. And in fact, one time he exploded and he said, "You're so judgmental." And I said, "But we haven't said anything." And he said, "That's just it. You're not saying anything." So you're darn.
He feels he feels convicted around you. He knows what you stand for, and he knows that he's veered off, and he's wrestling with that. And I think he feels, you know, in great conflict. Certainly with his wife. This is someone that he, you know, married and vowed to be with, and there's changes there. And how do you make sense of all of that? And then he's involved in his sexual addiction, and I don't know how much he knew in terms of his dad. You said the kids were affected, but in essence, he's become his dad, and that probably doesn't sit very well with him, and that's something else that he's trying to deny. I think I would continue to pursue him, and no matter, you know, kind of what he says to you, because he's just lashing out, because, you know, there's a lot going on inside of him. And I would continue to, you know, say things like, "I know it's really hard to hear what we have to say. I know that you want to push it away and reject it. But we love you, and we will not stop pursuing you." And we, you know, and you can remind him, "Remember, I have been through this before. I have been through this with your dad. And I don't want you to end up in the same place."
See, when I'm hearing all this, I think you're right, Jill. Okay. No argument, no disagreement. But I get concerned for that 2-year-old.
I do. Yes.
I understand the love for your son and wanting to help him. But who's looking out for that 2-year-old that's around the things he's doing?
Right. That's
and
true,
has
Larry.
Has a mother that's living a gay lifestyle. I don't know what you do about that.
Well, I think he thinks that because, you know, everything is behind closed doors, she's not going to have any exposure to it.
But didn't your first husband think that too?
Yes, I believe so. But that all didn't really come out full blown until the kids were. I guess our youngest child would have been about 8, and our oldest was about 15. So
okay,
you know, then, like 25 years ago, I was raised in the church. I didn't know anything about sexual addiction. I didn't. So, it seems like it was different. Now everything's on the internet.
So, right. Louise, the reason I ask what was the relationship like with your son in other areas, and now we've learned that he's explosive around you and feels judged by you. And so this then, maybe we need to look at it as the straw that broke the camel's back, in the sense that he couldn't take this anymore. And so this was sort of a culmination. One of the challenges, Louise, will be to do your very best to not be his mom when a 40-year-old is living in the house. Mm-hmm. You see, he's
feeling like a little boy.
He's not your little boy anymore that you have to tell to go to Sunday school and to monitor what he's doing. However, he lives in your home and you have standards. So
But he's left now. He hasn't come back.
I understand that. All I'm trying to say is, in the future, one of the things I would ask him would be, what kind of an adult relationship would you like to have with us, with me, your mom, and your stepdad? What would that relationship look like? And obviously, you think we're judgmental, and we have our beliefs and convictions, and they're different than yours, but how can we have a relationship?
And maybe even, Mylan, prefacing by saying, I realize now that coming back into our home while we wanted to help must have been really, really difficult for you.
That's right, Jill.
We didn't know how we should be different with you at this age.
Or how to relate to you.
How to relate to you.
How do we talk and how do we share and how do we relate?
Right.
You know, Louise, the book Every Man's Battle that Larry was talking about a few moments ago is on the subject of sexual addiction. And I know you said that, you know, 25 years ago, you weren't aware that this was even a problem, which is how many women are. But the book title, Every Man's Battle, is an important title because every male struggles with sexual integrity to a certain degree, especially with what the human male is faced with on a daily basis in the media and the news and TV and, as you said, on the internet. So I would try to pursue him, as Jill said, and I would also try to say, how can we have a relationship that would be allow us to be closer and then also tolerate difference in each other?
Yes.
Louise, thank you for calling us. We just really feel for you, feel for your son and the little girl. Book for Louise. My first thought was how we love. Maybe how we love,
how
our,
we love our kids. What do you think, Mylan?
Yeah, I think actually, I'd recommend Henry Cloud's book, Changes the Heel.
Okay.
Because there's a section in there, we have bonding, but then the second section is learning to separate from others.
This
idea of separating and letting you be you and me be me.
I know, that's really key. I mean, especially nowadays, right? Yeah. It seems like we're all, or it's kind of a climate of being intolerant of people's differences.
That's exactly right. And to disagree with you doesn't mean I'm a hater or a phobe.
You see, we just have a different opinion.
Well, it's a simple issue to you and me.
Yeah.
but to a lot of people, they confuse those.
Right.
And the verb to disagree, the verb to fear, and the verb to hate are all different words.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all confused. And so I think that's important here. How can we love you, disagree, but care for each other?
You know, that's always an important message that I know I tried to give my kids. You know, this is how this has impacted me. It's okay if you have a different perspective or opinion about this. Right?
Okay.
But that's a unique and mature mom right there who just said that.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
you see what I'm saying? There aren't a lot of us know how to do that, and I love that. And Henry does a fabulous job in that book. He has a unit or a section called Learning to Separate, from which they then took and put that into the boundaries material that they wrote. But the first concept that's the most important one before you set up a boundary is, can I learn to separate from you?
Right.
Which includes boundaries sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, my kids learned it well.
Yeah.
They have no problem disagreeing with me.
Louise, we'll get that book out to you.
And for you as a mom.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
I want to go and talk to Gina in Mobile, Alabama. Mobile. Hello, Gina. How can we help you today?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing good.
Good. I am married to a really wonderful, wonderful man. He has three adult children who only seek him out when they're in trouble financially, legally, etc. Now, he and I have been married almost 5 years, and I can tell you that the majority of our arguments are because when they reach out You know, they don't reach out for Father's Day or for Christmas or for his birthday. And he deserves better than that. But when they reach out, he runs to them. He drops everything. And I was wondering if there is a resource that you can recommend. He feels, you know, he feels like if he doesn't go to them when they need him, that he won't have a relationship with them. But I don't think that that quote-unquote relationship is a true relationship. So can you give me some guidance as his wife to help him get through the disappointment of his kids being, you know, who they are? And he, of course, he feels responsible. And he was, you know, responsible for the way the relationship is because he was gone in the military for 25 years.
Gina, we'll help you right after the break here. We're coming up on a break, and so just hold on. We'll be right back.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're speaking with Gina, and she has her husband has some kids from previous marriage, and the kids are coming to dad when they need things, but really not otherwise, and that's rather bothersome. So what do you think, you guys? What advice, what resource can we help her with?
Well, Gina, you've been married 5 years, and I'm sorry that you're kind of stuck in this spot. Mm-hmm. I think you have a good view of things. And I would take a little bit of a different approach. I would sit down with your husband, and instead of trying to convince him in a situational basis what not to do or what to do every time a phone call comes or whatever, I would ask him questions like, so how do you feel about your relationship with your kids? What are the predominant feelings that you feel? How do you feel when they don't contact you at your birthday and Christmas? Mm-hmm. Do you feel responsible for the distance with your kids and that you were gone for such a long time? How can we attempt to begin? First of all, as a wife, I'd want to know what he's really feeling on the inside because those feelings set up the behaviors that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd want to know that first, Gina, because, you know, he's operating on a different download than you are. You know, you're looking at it from
right.
a very
from
different
five
perspective.
Years
yeah,
versus...
from 5 years. And he's dealing with guilt, and he's dealing with responsibility, and he's worried that he's going to lose the kids. And he needs help here in this deep systemic place. What do mm-hmm. you think, Jill?
Well, yeah, I like that, Mylan. And Gina, I think, you know, to take some time, I mean, of course, you are supportive of him, as you should be, and you see the best in him,
mm-hmm.
of course. And so you're wanting the best for him. But I think it's important to step back and really see the whole history, not just automatically jump on his bandwagon because you think he's a good guy and you know, need him to be a good guy, right? He's a different guy now than he was way back when he
point.
Had kids. And mm-hmm. so I think just to take some time where you talk through the history. Don't draw conclusions. Don't make recommendations. Just listen to what life was like for both him and his perspective of for his kids.
And it's probably a tendency to paint the kids as bad kids.
Right.
When
they're so ungrateful. They're, you know.
But they were trained this way.
Yes.
It was,
I mean,
it's not always their fault.
Dad
that they had
was
poor parenting.
Just somebody that was utilitarian, right?
Yeah.
He provided. He wasn't there emotionally, so they don't know how to go to him emotionally. And that's a sad situation. And part of it is you as his wife can help him grieve what was lost. And then eventually it's, okay, well, what can we redeem now? And for him to be able to voice to his kids, you know, I love you. I'm here for you. I will do, you know, what you need. I would like us to maybe go to lunch once in a while. I'd like to start, you know, and for him to apologize, right?
Absolutely.
To apologize, uh-huh. make amends for all that was lost for those kids and say, could we start now? Could we go to lunch once in a while?
And in addition to that, for him to ask the kids, how did I disappoint you as a
yes,
dad?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
How did I fall short?
Right.
And how do you feel about me now? I notice you don't call me on my birthday or I don't see you at Christmas time, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. And then we have to ask about the triangulation between the kids, him, and his former wife.
Exactly.
And because, you know, we're basically walking into quicksand snakes and rattlesnakes
yes.
and alligators
yeah.
here.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff going on mm-hmm. that we have to acknowledge the entire mixture and look at it.
And that's not necessarily a fun thing to look
it's
at,
not
right?
Fun,
especially,
but
Gina, when you're starting a new life here with him,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to go back and say, well, there was life before me.
That's right.
But it's important.
She asked about a resource. What would you suggest we send her as a resource?
Take Your Life Back could be a good
hmm.
book because
yeah.
it's how do we take our lives back from the places that they're stuck?
Yes.
And which is the point.
Mm-hmm.
I love the front cover of that book because it shows a marionette or
uh-huh.
really a puppet with strings attached. And she's describing her husband as the kids say
yes,
something.
Yes, isn't that so true?
And the arm flies up in the air or
yeah.
the leg flies up in the air. And so,
uh-huh.
the marionette. And then you open the book and it shows the puppet standing there with all the strings cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how do we live a string-free life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll send that to you.
I think that'll be my next book. How do we live a string-free life?
That's good.
I just had just a thought.
Epiphany.
How we love a string-free life.
Okay, I want to remind you that we're going to be here another hour, so if you're on the line and holding, please continue to hold. We will get to your call. We want to get to every single one. And before we get to call, Karen, we're going to talk to you next, so hold on there. A gift this month. When you make a gift to New Life, we want to send you a book, and the book is The Power of the Other by Dr. Henry Cloud. And this is a book he wrote to help you understand.
You mean it's not all about me?
Well, you and Mylan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's other people.
That's
yeah.
right.
Okay.
Help you understand the effect other people have on you and the effect you can have on others. And it's true in our personal life at home. It's true in business and with friends in the neighborhood. So that's a book we'd like to send you if you make a gift of any kind. And your gift does a lot to help a lot of people get help. They come looking to New Life just as Gina did. What resource can I have? How can you help me? Well, we want to do that because we believe God has something better for you. We believe in transformation, and we believe God will provide that through the power of His Holy Spirit. But there are first steps you need to take, and if a first step could be making a gift to help us continue, that would be an enormous help to a lot of people. So thank you. We'll be back right after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Before we take a call from Karen, I just want to, I was talking at the end of the last segment about supporting New Life, and one of the ways we are asking for support is Club New Life. Club New Life is a monthly giving program. You've probably heard that here before if you're a regular listener. But it's very important, and we have we've had a lot of Club New Life people join all through last year and into January. But February and March has been a little slow, and so I just want to appeal you folks. If you have sitting on the fence and wondering if you really want to make that commitment or not, please give it a shot. We've got great thank you gifts. We've got a video library. There's other benefits. A couple of videos coming up in this week and next that will be posted on there. Dr. Alice Benton did a two-part series on feeling inadequate. If you're feeling inadequate, she's got some suggestions to help you with that. And then Chris Williams, following that next week, Advanced Recovery Principles. If you're in recovery, he's got some things about emotional growth and becoming emotionally alive, creative recovery. So please give us a call, 800-NEW-LIFE, and see if you could help us, and we'll help you. Okay, now let's go talk to Karen. Karen is a trucker, listens on Sirius XM. How you doing, Karen?
I'm all right. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Thanks for taking my call. I listen every day.
I love it. We love our truckers.
So I don't have much else to do.
Oh, that's really
well. That qualifies things that just a little bit. So we're kind of a default.
We're
right?
That good,
right.
Are we?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it to come out that way.
Karen,
you're just kind of stuck in the car, and we just come on, right?
Yeah. Oh man, here they are again.
No,
they won't go away.
You really are. I have a problem with anger towards men. They're just about really disgusting me.
Aww.
I'm sorry again, but I try to get over it.
Well, give me a little more specific
right.
For us.
That's a general topic.
Well, now I've been thinking about this a lot. That's because
you have time to think, Karen.
Yes, you do.
That's right. I have nothing else
to get in touch
with
that anger.
Nothing else to think. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Think and reflect. But,
that's right.
Yeah, it's one reason I love my job. You know what? In my whole entire life, I'm 60 years old. And in my whole entire life, I've only had maybe one more positive male relationship in my life, in my entire life. And then I get into this industry. Well, I've been in it quite a while, but it started out mostly male-dominated. There's a lot of women in it now. There's still a lot of men. And it just seems like every day they do something, they say something, and I don't listen to the CB radio anymore. I try not to associate with them. Just because almost anything they do makes me want to throw up.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I don't want to be that way. You know what? Last week I categorized them. I've got three categories. Most everybody's in category three. Some family, some friends are in two, and there's nobody in one.
Let's hear the categories.
Yes. What are they?
I wrote it down, but I haven't looked at it lately. Category three is like the narcissistic male, and almost everybody falls in that category. Category two, some family and friends, I love them, and I think they're good people, and I could trust them. Category one is I could trust the man with my life. And that's the kind of man that I could be married to. But that category's empty.
Are you backing up right now?
No, I'm following too close.
All right. So...
I'm all right.
Jill, what were you going to say?
Well, I'm just wondering, you said there's only been like one, maybe two positive male relationships. So then the obvious question is, what about your first male relationship, which would be Dad?
Right. You know, I had a good childhood, a good family. But to me, thinking back, he was mostly just present. My mom did most of the interacting. She did most of the disciplining, you know.
When you say he was just present, do you mean like his body was there, but there was no one home? Or, 'cause present, I think of being engaged.
I wasn't engaged a lot. He did take me to a few events. But most of the time I remember him just working, coming home, falling asleep in the chair, and then getting up and going to bed. And my mom would make sure that we did everything else.
Right.
She did everything else for us.
Okay. And your mom's attitude towards men, what was that like?
Oh, it seemed good.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no arguing that we heard, that the kids heard.
Feel favorable towards men? Did she complain about men a lot? You know, at what point did you start to really dislike men?
Well, okay, I don't know how you call it. One of my older brother's friends had touched me in a place that shouldn't be touched before I was even in school. I remember this.
Sorry.
And then, I tell you what, there was probably 5, 6 more guys who took advantage of me before I was in middle school.
Wow.
So... You know, I mean, it just goes on and on. I was date raped.
Yeah.
And that was embarrassing. Nobody knows this. My family doesn't know any of this.
And what about your brother? Because I'm thinking, why didn't your brother protect you from his friends?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know because they were around. There were, yeah. I think my brother was around, and there were a few other of his friends around.
Well, Karen, it's no wonder why you don't mm-hmm. think very highly of men. And, you know, and out on the road, and, you know, men can be gruff, and they're doing their guy thing, and so I can see where you would be really turned off by all of that.
Well, and I think the men today that are abrasive or hurtful or unkind to you, that they are getting the anger and the fury of your entire history of being misused by men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, there's a charge that's built up inside of you that if a person comes along, the static electricity just leaps over to that person. In other words, it doesn't take much to really offend you because of your hurt, and that's not your fault, and nor is it necessarily theirs. I just am trying to explain because you asked the question why I am so angry at men and they disgust me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a history of that disgust, and I empathize, and I'm so sorry, Karen, you had to go through that. I'm going to share with you something that is sort of counterintuitive, but I think what needs to really happen is you need to take a long look at that history and learn to grieve and mourn that horrible, horrible loss and realize that your current hatred is fueled by that core of anger and hurt and shame.
Back at during a time when you couldn't protect yourself.
Couldn't defend yourself, but boy, you can now.
Well, and you do, and you drive around in a truck. You got a lot of metal around you, and you're by yourself, right?
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. You keep yourself really protected now.
Are you a long-haul trucker or short?
Regional.
Okay. So are you anywhere where you can regularly go see a counselor if we found a counselor for you?
Oh, it's possible. Yeah, I could.
You'd have to make it. You'd gotta
well,
want
and
to
sometimes,
it.
You know, you could see them face-to-face periodically and then do phone sessions in between. I do that all the time with people.
Well, Karen, it's about grief, but it's about trauma. You see, there's a lot of people who specialize in trauma as counselors, and you'd want to make sure you found someone like that because for a little girl to be molested over and over, by the time she's in grade school through middle school, is traumatic to her. And you're sitting on
You're 60, and you're just telling us now, and you're saying you haven't told anyone.
That's right. That's right.
That's a lot of years.
That's a lot of time to hold all that in.
Karen, hold the line and talk to the call screener about a counselor, and we'll have somebody call you or get you transferred.
We're so sorry.
Yeah, and thank you for calling us and sharing and for trusting these men, because these are really good guys.
Well, thank you. Please hold if you're on hold. We've got another hour, and we want to get to everybody.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We have another call we want to get in here, and we're going to go and talk with Mary. Mary is Nashville, Tennessee, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Mary. How can we help you?
Hey, I have, you know, I've been listening to your show for a couple of months, not all that long, but, you know, you guys do a really nice job, and I appreciate what you do. But when you say go talk to, like earlier, the show that I was listening to, say go talk to your son, but what do you do when the person you need to go talk to won't listen? So I've got a 16-year-old daughter who, you know, I guess we have, you know, somewhat of a typical mother-daughter relationship. But there's a lot of, you know, more anxiety than I would want. But whenever we have an argument and I want to talk to her about it, she just gets really loud and starts yelling, and she is not willing at all to hear what I have to say about the situation. And
well,
I don't know what to do about that.
That's part of the problem then. Because the goal of talking to your daughter is to listen to what she has to say. If what she's doing is she's trying to stop you from talking.
Mm-hmm. She can't tolerate it
Tolerate it in that moment. And so that's why what we have to do is stop. And I've done this, Mary, with my kids, all four of them. Is to sit down with them on another day and ask them, how do I make you feel when I walk into your room? Or how do I make you feel when I ask you questions? What else are you angry about? Who else has hurt you? Have I hurt you? Have mom and dad hurt you? Because, you know, the Bible says, children, honor your father and mother. But then it also says in the next verse, fathers, don't make your kids angry. So yeah, I've
got
it.
Don't provoke them.
Yeah, don't provoke them. And so I had to ask my kids, have I done something to make you angry? And it kind of starts things off in a different way, Mary. I know you want to be a good parent and help her, but I'm just trying to help you get through an impasse here.
Right, because at 16, she has a lot of different mood and feeling states, and they are constantly shifting, right? And so, you know, one minute she can't tolerate something, but my guess is at another time she's a little more open. And do you find that?
Not when it comes to discussing the way that she reacted to a situation or...
Okay. But do you hear Mylan's...
She could have done better.
Okay, you know? Because you're correcting her and telling her what she's doing wrong. And so she's hypersensitive to any form of what she perceives as criticism from you, which is not untypical of daughters with their moms. Even when you're not being critical, she may perceive that you're being critical. And you're telling her that she's bad. And I imagine she's hearing that she's all bad. And so that's why Mylan's approach of what have I done, you know, how do I make you feel, is coming. It's not about her and focusing on her behavior. It's drawing some feelings and some, you know, it's trying to make room to be able to to discuss things that feel unbearable. Mm-hmm. And part of our job, a big part of our job as parents, is to help our kids to bear what is unbearable. Mm-hmm. And so you have to start slowly because it's like you have to kind of – I think of it as stretching something out that wants to just spring back. And so by doing that, by kind of coming in a side door of, you know, I can see that I really upset you and I want to understand how that happens so that I can do it differently. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you feel? You know, what is it that I say or do that causes you to just shut down? Because that's when the walls go up. That's the yelling. She's just shutting. She can't take in anymore. And it's an immaturity, too, right?
And Mary, in addition to that, if they've behaved poorly, like you're suggesting, she rages or she yells, the next day, not that night,
right.
I'll say, you were really upset last night. What else did you feel besides anger?
Yeah.
And undoubtedly, they feel anxious, they feel overwhelmed, they feel ashamed, they feel a lot of feelings. And then we have to ask, where did those come from? What else is contributing to that?
Yeah.
Because the life of a 16-year-old in Nashville can be really tough, as it can be in any town, USA. Mm-hmm. And so we just don't know what's in the cauldron of bubbling up all that anger.
Yeah, what's going on in her life.
Yeah, what else is happening? What are the other stressors? And we got to ask all those questions.
Mary, thank you.
Your alarm is right. I should be doing something about my angry daughter. What do I do?
Yeah. You've got to find a different way to communicate with her. And it's not just about starting with correcting behavior. Right? You want to connect with her in any way you can.
Or attitudes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, what's the meaning of that? What's underneath that? How can I connect with her heart?
Mm-hmm.
But
what if she's mad about something that I can't do anything about?
Well, but you can listen.
I can listen.
And that helps her to bear it. Mm-hmm. She doesn't need you to fix everything. She needs you to hear her.
I love that Mylon one time said that when somebody comes to him with an issue, he'll say, is this fix it or listen?
Yeah.
Sometimes it is to fix things. Sometimes it's just to let them get it out.
Right. And sometimes you have to say, what are you needing right now? Right? How can I best be here for you?
And Jill and Larry, to that point, it maybe the answer is all I can do right now is give you a hug.
Right. Sometimes if they're angry, they don't want to hug.
True. But if there's another issue that's painful, we can give them a hug and just say, boy, that would be rough. To your point, mm-hmm. we help them bear what they're having to bear.
Yeah.
Part of that growing up that she's going through is learning to live in an uncomfortable, you know, it sounds rather crude, but we say at one of our workshops, you have to learn to live in the suck.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn to live where it just feels awkward and not right.
Right.
And not.
You know, and it's so normal for a parent to want to jump in and make everything better for our child. We feel like that's our responsibility. But I think it almost increases their anger when you're trying to fix it or you're trying to play devil's advocate and get them to see the other side. They just need you to hear and see their side in that moment and just to say, wow, that's a lot.
And to your point, Jill, for them to ultimately, as an adult, learn to tolerate tensions.
Yes.
Because, like you just said, mm-hmm. to live in those horrible places mm-hmm.
is to tolerate tension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that we easily do. We have to learn and mature into
that
capacity.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you, Mary. Mylon, you're the bookmaster today. What book do you think would be good for Mary?
Well, let me think about that for a second.
All right. While you think about that, I just want to encourage Jane and Rose and Honesty and Martha and Jen, please hold the line. This next hour, we will do everything we can to get to all of your calls. And I've got a little scripture piece to close on.
I would suggest we send her How We Love Our Kids,
because okay.
there's a parent toolbox in the back that says how to have discussions with your kids.
Okay. From new life to your ears, from the book of Ephesians, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's our prayer for you folks, that you will be the wisdom you hear coming from Jill and Mylon and the other hosts on this program touches you and reaches you in a way that you'll take the steps to live in a life that will be transformative to what you're living now, and through the power of God's Spirit that can happen. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.